I want to talk about David's mighty men, particularly Benaiah. And I just set the context of why I want to talk about them. When you read about their various exploits, nearly all these exploits have some sort of similarity to David's victory over Goliath. And quite clearly, these mighty men, these soldiers of his, were motivated by David's victory. Now, when you read 1 Samuel 17, the victory of David over Goliath, it's quite clear that it's all looking forward to the Lord's victory over sin on the cross. Golgotha, the skull of Goliath, and the way that he throws a stone and the whole thing falls over, just like the image of Daniel 2 falls over, the stone representing Jesus. And lots of similarities. Goliath covered in brass or bronze, which is similar to the word for serpent, a symbol of sin. And the point is that once David won this great victory, this inspired his followers. He took 5 smooth stones and went out to fight Goliath, but he only threw 1. But later on, we read of Goliath having 4 giant relatives, maybe brothers. And each of them were killed by David's men. And I think that David's perhaps initial ambition had been to wipe out all 5 of them, but he only knocked out Goliath. And in the type, we then are like the men of David, who's like Jesus, who are to be inspired by his victory on the cross. So when it comes to Benaiah, I think he's one of the clearest examples of all this. He was the chief, it seems, finally, of the mighty men. There were various ones like Joab, who were at one stage the leader, but I think it all settled down to being Benaiah, according to 1 Chronicles 27:5. 2 Samuel 23:20 says that Benaiah, son of Jehoiada the priest, was the head, that is, of the mighty men. Well, we're told that he killed an Egyptian who was 5 cubits tall, according to 1 Chronicles 11:23. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. This is all very much the picture of David doing the same to the giant Goliath. He took Goliath's sword and cut his head off with it. And this Benaiah had previously killed a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. Now, that, of course, was the same with David. Before he won the victory over Goliath, he had killed a lion. So you could say that Benaiah was following in the steps of David and David's victory over Goliath. And as I say, with all of these mighty men, quite a few of their exploits, you see that they were following, really, the inspiration provided by David's victory. And also, when you look at all of them, you see that they were all slightly odd. They may have been from one tribe, but they were not living in that tribal area. Or they were living far, far away from where David was from, in Judah. People right up in the far north of the country were amongst these mighty men. Some of them were Gentiles. Some of them were people very much on the edge. You know, Uriah the Hittite, for example. So the point is that by his victory, he inspired all sorts of odd people from all over the place to be bound together because they were commonly inspired by what David had done, killing Goliath. And this, of course, looks forward to how we should be in the inspiration that we should take from the cross. That he there is our inspiration, is the centre of our unity. And that's why the breaking of bread, when we gather together to remember him there, is to be the point of our greatest unity. And sadly, it's been used instead to divide the Lord's people, which is absolutely tragic. So what Jesus did on the cross is not just something to be gaped at in sort of adoration, but is something that we can realistically follow. He showed us there what is possible within human nature, because the Lord had our nature completely, and yet he overcame sin. Now, how he did that is a separate question, but the overall image that we take is of someone with our nature, with all the drawbacks of human psychology and the build, as it were, of human nature, doing what he did. And of course, just as these men thought, well, if David did it with Goliath, I can do it with the Philistines in my life. So the cross is not simply the source of our salvation, we as wretched sinners and failures, but is also our inspiration. And as I say, Benaiah is an example of that, but there's another one, Eleazar. We're told he was one of the mighty men, and he defied the Philistines, who gathered to battle when the men of Israel had fled away. Now, that is all exactly the picture of David's victory against Goliath. The Israelites fled away from him, and the Philistine defied them, and the Philistines were gathered together to battle, 1 Samuel 17. And yet Eleazar, when the Philistines were gathered together to battle and the Israelites had run away, he arose and struck the Philistines, just like David arose and went out to fight Goliath. It goes on about Eleazar, and Yahweh worked a great victory that day, and the people returned after him to spoil. Same phrase. That's 2 Samuel 23:10 that says Yahweh worked a great victory that day through Eleazar fighting the Philistines. And that phrase, great victory, is the phrase used in 1 Samuel 19, verse 5, about how God had worked a great victory through David over Goliath. And again, the Israelites also at the time of David's victory over Goliath returned after him to spoil the Philistines. And again, Shamar. The Philistines were gathered together into a troop in a plot of land, and the people fled from the Philistines, just as had happened at the time of David's conflict with Goliath. But he stood in the midst of the plot and defended it and killed the Philistines. Again, similar language. The word there for delivered, he defended or delivered the land, is the word used, 1 Samuel 17:37, for how David delivered Israel from the Philistines by killing Goliath. So, the Lord's death on the cross, this is the point, is to inspire us, just as David's mighty men were inspired by his victory over Goliath, and that became a sort of an abiding image for them. So it should be for us, that the Lord's victory, that he did it, even though he achieved it far more than we do, even though we have sinned and failed, that should be our inspiration. Not simply taking hold of bread and wine with gratitude that I, a failure, am all the same to be saved by his grace. That is one window on it. That is one aspect. But the ultimate truth is that we can be inspired likewise. And that is the point, the inspiration of the cross, rather than simply our salvation. But it is an inspiration that we, like him, can rise up to victory.